Yes, we are here. Let me explain something to you, family. This is going to be different. This is going to be a little more energy than what maybe you're used to, but I want to ask you something. Are you ready to discover the key to motivating your project team so quickly and effectively? It feels, man, I feel like we're breaking laws. It almost feels illegal. While we're not breaking laws here, okay, family? But I promise you, and I do mean I promise you, what we're about to dive into will completely change the way you lead your teams. Imagine a group of individuals so engaged, so in line, and so driven that they practically manage themselves. This is what we call self-managing. Well, if you stick with me in today's episode, I'm going to share some secrets to creating a level of motivation. By the way, I left out the magic tricks for this one, but I'll make sure that I'll explain them to you in the end. Let's get to point number one. Define a clear and compelling vision. Again, define a clear and compelling vision. A clear vision provides purpose, direction, and transforming tasks into meaningful contribution towards a shared mission. See, what happens a lot of times, family, is when we are leading projects as project managers, we do not establish and set the precedence how important it is to be able to set that vision. And this is why we get a lot of pushback from our stakeholders because, oh, watch this, it's going to get good to me. They are unaware and uninformed at the same time. Let me give you my actionable tips. Tip number one, hold a kickoff meeting where you articulate the project objectives and explain how each team member's role aligns with the bigger picture. Point number two on this, reinforce the vision regular through updates and check-ins. Check in with your team, see what's going on. What do they need assistance with? What is not working well for them or their schedule? Third, connect with each team member's role to the larger purpose through regular communication. See, a lot of times when a team is doing something, they can get caught up in the box of this is my little thing that I'm working on, instead of seeing the bigger picture. Or as they say, the forest from the trees, that type of analogy. So we have to be able to create a compelling vision that makes sense. Point number two, create a sense of urgency without stress. Oh, I know everyone is thinking that, like, how can you do that? Well, see, urgency can drive motivation when framed positively, but it can backfire if it feels like undue pressure. One of the things I love doing in meetings, and I'm exhibiting some of that here as we're speaking today in today's episode, is excitement, is it motivation. I don't know about you, but I went to some project managers meetings before and they were boring. They were dull. I'm not saying that every time we go to a meeting, it has to be just super excited, so much energy, but can you bring a little bit of motivation to the table? Can you bring a little bit of energy and sound like you really want to be there and that you're just not there for the check? Okay, I may offend somebody, so I'll just keep going. Here's my three actionable points. Use motivational language when discussing deadlines. Position them as opportunities to achieve something great rather than obligations to avoid failure. Number two, create an energy-driven deadline rather than a pressure-based one. Listen, I don't care who you are. I don't care how much pressure you can take upon. I'll ask you this. Would you love a energy-driven deadline versus a pressure deadline? They're both deadlines. But the difference is that an energy-driven deadline, there's more excitement. There's more, I want to get this done versus a pressure one where they feel if I make a mistake, this is going to happen. They start going down the road of self-sabotage. Here's my third point. Establish sprints, sprint weeks. Basically, this is all I'm just saying here is focus on the objectives and clear outcomes. What are we here for? What is the outcome? Not the result, because we can sometimes, I used to get that confused a lot, the difference between the result and outcome. The outcome is the final output, the final thing that we need to be able to move on as we're doing here. Point number three, engineering collaborative success through communication. I always told you, family, even in this book, the importance of, if you haven't, by the way, shameless plug, but pick up this Magnetic Project Manager book, Barnes & Noble's, Amazon, etc. Go check it out. Do your boy some, show your boy some love. But anyway, back to the original broadcast. Open communication really builds trust. The more transparent, see, this is why I love the Scrum framework and the agile mindset, because it's about transparency. And this is what I'm starting to see flow more into the predictive style. Predictive meaning leading the traditional way of leading projects. So I'm starting to see more of that in the industry. You know, teams are being more transparent about, listen, if you want us to hit this particular date, well, B and C are going to have to be moved so we can hit A. And they're being upfront. They're giving potential solutions. So it's more, it builds more trust. And also, when conflicts happen, we're able to address them faster, which, again, this enhances our team synergy. Here's my three thoughts around that, actionable tips. Schedule weekly check-ins to discuss progress, address concerns, and encourage brainstorming. I recently had to deal with this where I was noticing a project team member, they seem very disconnected from the project. You know, when we come to the meetings, it really wasn't saying much. It was one or two people doing a majority of the talking. So first thing I did was I started calling people's name. This is a trick where when you notice when you're leading meetings and you and another person are doing all the talking, you start calling on people's name. Hey, Ronnie, I want to get your thoughts. What do you think about it? And then when you hear Ronnie's response, you're shocked. You're like, well, Ronnie, where have you been at? We started at the top of the hour. Like, where were you at? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm having a relapse, but I digress. The point I'm trying to make, family, we have to pull things out of people with regards to information. And the only way to do that is to acknowledge them and to give them an opportunity to feel safe, a safe place to talk, and not talk down to them if they give up an idea or some type of collaborative approach and we shoot it down without really looking at it. Number two, use collaborative platforms like Slack or Microsoft Teams, Asana. This creates a real clear transparency. Number three, schedule weekly collaboration sessions, to focus on problem solving. One of the biggest things as a project manager, you will be consistently dealing with problems. This is why I said, I love this career, because what is one of the things that if an entrepreneur or a business needs? Somebody to be able to solve problems. What is your problem and how we address it? Let's move on to point number four. Lead by example to inspire your team. I got a good one here. If you're still here, if you stuck with me, my mom would always say, son, don't do as I do. Do as I say. I'll say that again for my people that know these type of mothers. Do as I say, don't do as I do. And as a leader, we have to be the person that does the thing. So meaning that we have to show up on time. We have to be someone that creates a sense of energy, a sense of attitude, and so we can directly influence, you know, the team's motivation levels. They're looking at you. You are their leader. Even though they may not report into you, even though you may not be doing any performance appraisals, et cetera, they still look to you to lead them. They still look to you as the guide, even though they may working in, you know, collaborative pods and things of that nature, they're still looking to you. Here's my three points on this. Approach challenges with a solution mindset. Have you been paying attention to my episodes since I've started in this realm? You know, I always talk about, don't get so caught up on the problem that you lose sight and focus on the actual solution. What I mean by that is saying staying focused on the solution after you identify the problem. Here we go. Show visible commitment by being punctual, prepared, and proactive in addressing issues. One of the things that just irks me, family, and I apologize, but I don't. If we're having a meeting, my expectation of you as the project team or stakeholders to become prepared, because I'm going to come prepared. Now, I may not have all the answers. I may not have all the documents, but I'm coming prepared based on the agenda that we're going to discuss. Number three, share your own challenges and growth experiences openly. I know a lot of people feel uncomfortable doing that because they feel, well, that could be used against me, or they feel that it's going to make them look vulnerable. Well, yes, you're the leader. You need to look vulnerable, because if you're not vulnerable, how can you ask anything of your team that you're unwilling to do yourself? I'll slow that down in case you missed that. How are you going to ask something of your team if you are unwilling to do it yourself? Remember what I told you my mama said. My mama said, do as I say, not as I do. That's not right. So we have to understand that we have to be the thing that we're talking about as what we have to live in and breathe it. Point number five, celebrate success. Yes, bring it up. See, having the ability to celebrate success, big and small, you have the opportunity to recognize the progress and reinforce positive behaviors and keep morale high. Here's my 3 points on this, actionable tips. Implement a reward system for reaching milestones. Number two, provide public acknowledgement. See, a lot of times people think, oh, well, if they left an organization, oh, it was because of the manager. Oh, it was because they wanted more money. No, those things do come into play. I'm not going to lie, because I've left organizations because of one or two of those things. But I've also left situations because of the fact that I wasn't acknowledged. And when I mean acknowledged, I'm not saying like, oh, you got to put me on a big screen. But hey, we were just able to solve this problem. Can our team get a recognition for saving the company multi-million dollars and something that they would have had to pay out? So it's things of that nature that makes it important. Matter of fact, it's imperative that we give public acknowledgement. We do team lunches or just send in a personal thank you note. The last one for this, establish monthly excellence spotlights for outstanding contributions. Point number six, leverage individual strengths for maximum impact. There's one of my favorite books, a book by Tim Grover called Unstoppable. So this book, if you haven't picked it up, you need, I said I'm going to do a book club because these are the type of books that's going to help you in your career. What Tim Grover talked about is the ability to, and he talked about a lot of things in this book, but one of the many things that stood out to me is the ability when you, a lot of people will say, well, he's strong here, but he's weak over there. Okay, well, how can we leverage his strength while we're working on his weaknesses? So a lot of times you have to understand that when tasks align with team members' strength, productivity soars. And individuals feel valued. I mean, I don't know how many times have you ever felt value when you're operating in your strength? I know I have. Here's my 3 points. Conduct skill assessments or one-on-one meetings to identify hidden talents. Number two, delegate tasks based on insights to maximize efficiency and engagement. And number three, provide specialized training to enhance natural ability. Point number seven, transform challenges into opportunities. Ooh, I love that. See, swift problem solving prevents bottlenecks and it can transform routine work into engaging challenges. Here's my 3 points. Create a leaderboard for team achievements, or set friendly competitions for completing tasks on time. Listen, I love to compete. If we play a Monopoly, I want to win. I want to beat you. I want to bankrupt you. I love to compete. And most of the time, the people that I'm working with or have worked with, I've noticed they love to compete as well. Having the ability to create a leaderboard to display, hey, this where this person is going to push the other person to want to do more. And there's been some teams that they didn't like that, but it was the majority that enjoyed it more than the minority. Here's another one. Pair this with a quick troubleshooting session to tackle barriers as they arise. And the last and final one, record and share lessons learned from overcome obstacles. Point number eight, maintain momentum with consistent action. Listen, motivation fades. I don't care. I love what Zig Ziglar talked about when he was being interviewed. And the lady said, so does motivation work? And he was like, well, yeah, I mean, but you can't just do it one time. I mean, a shower works, but you can't just do it one time. Meaning with Zig, if you mind, if I love to use my imagination to unpack that, what Zig was saying is that you can't listen to an audio and then don't go do any work. You can't watch an episode or listen to an episode and then you don't go do nothing with the information. And then you'll go and say, oh, it doesn't work, or he doesn't know, or she doesn't know, or this person doesn't know what they're talking about. But the thing about it is that you have to put consistent action behind what you're listening to. This is why I'm always encouraging you. When I'm bringing this value to you, take advantage of it. See what works for you. What doesn't, get rid of it. I'm here to serve you so I want to see your success and go to the top. Here's my 3 points. Dedicate 10 to 15 minutes during weekly meetings for the team to reflect on what went well, as well as identify areas of improvement. Number two, implement tools like a Kanban board or Kanban board burn down charts, progress dashboards. To this is just going to give a visual representation of the team advancement. And then the last and final one, schedule weekly wins on, you know, you could do it in the middle of the week or even on Friday to share individual, to share with individual the team accomplishments or highlight any upcoming goals. Well, family, if you made it this far, I got three top transformational recommendations. And also want to give a special shout out to my friend, my buddy, my guy, Jay. Thank you so much for continue to listen to these episodes and even comment. That means a lot. So if you're not commenting or hitting that like button, well, we need to work some things out. Anyway, I digress. Let's get into these three transformational recommendations. Create a sense of urgency without stress. Again, using motivational language when discussing deadlines, positioning them as opportunities to achieve something great rather than taking the obligation to avoid failure. The second one, transform challenges into opportunities, record and share lessons learned from overcome obstacles. And the last one, lead by example to inspire your team. Remember what I told you, my mama said, she said, do as I say, not as I do. But that's not the correct way to go about it. So what we need to do is show visible commitment by being punctual, prepared, and proactive to address any type of lessons. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means it. Until next time.